Alpha Claver. That's prime, he corrected. I'm a prime Claver. Or a Claver Prime, if you prefer. Not caring in the slightest, I shook my head. Whatever. The last time we met, you killed me. Wrong, he said. That's ingratitude right there. Makes it hard to do a man a kind turn when he talks like that. I snorted. What kind turn? You were as good as permed out there on Dark World when I saw the light in my heart and I arranged a revive for you back here on Earth. If that's not a good turn, what is? You wanted to go home, didn't you? Did you expect to take a chartered flight? So, you're here for the book. Is that it? That was the deal. No, he said, surprising me. I've already got it. That's why I'm here. This is a courtesy call, so to speak. You found the book? I asked in concern. That means you were digging around down at my place? I aimed my pistol into his face. A red dot shined over his nose. It's hard for a man to think when you're doing that, Claver complained. I was angry. I'd left the book down in Georgia at my parents' place. If he'd been sniffing around my family's home, well, that was beyond the pale. But I needed information, and he was here to provide it, so I fought to control my emotions. Are you going to put that gun down so we can talk? Claver asked. Thinking about that, I nodded, and I set my gun aside. All right, I said dangerously. Talk. How exactly did you get the book? He looked troubled for just a second. That was a rare look on Claver's face. It concerned me. I traded for it, he said. I'm a traitor, after all. Snatching up my pistol again, I aimed it at his right nostril. A tiny red dot played there. Did you break into my house? Did you molest my family? He blinked. That was it right there. I knew a tell when I saw one. Whatever he was going to say next, it was a lie. He did open his mouth. He was about to speak his lie, but I didn't want to hear it. I shot him in the face. He pitched forward, gargling and wheezing briefly until all that stopped, and then he relaxed in death. The next hour or so was sheer panic for me. I threw my stuff together and rushed for the train station. Every step or two I tried to call my folks, but they kept their tappers on silent at night. Too many sales offers, crap like that. It could buzz your arm off all night long if you let it. Etta wasn't answering either. She'd been mad at me before I'd left, but I'd figured she'd be over it by now. But I guess she wasn't. It wasn't until dawn that I got a call back from my father. James, he asked, what's all the fuss about? Dad, has anything gone wrong down there? I'm on my way home to Georgia right now on the SkyTrain. He said, and I knew there was something up. Finally, he sighed. We weren't going to tell you until you got home. Etta's left, James. She made us promise not to talk about it right away. That stunned me. Dad, are you kidding me? Where'd she go? She went to visit her grandfather. She said he's been ill lately and— On Dust World? I demanded. Yes. It's supposed to be a short trip, no more than 2 months. We didn't think you'd be too upset about it, as she—
Dad, where'd she get the money?
He hesitated. We asked her that. She said her grandfather arranged the ticket.
I snorted at that idea. The investigator wasn't a sentimental man. I doubted he gave much of a shit what his granddaughter did. But that didn't matter. I knew where she'd gotten the money, and that realization hit me hard.
Etta knew my place. She knew my hiding spots. She'd found the book, and she'd sold it to Claver. I signed off with my dad as quickly as I could. Feeling a little gut sick, I sat back in my seat and stared outside the SkyTrain. The earth was waking up with a pink sky lighting up the world under me.
The ocean out to the east was slate gray. A few silvery dots moved here and there below. Air cars, mostly. My own daughter had sold me out. She'd stolen the book and given it to my worst enemy. There just wasn't any easy way for a man's mind to come to terms with that. Chapter 56. By the time I got home, it was morning. I met my folks and gave them hugs and all that. They were upset about Etta leaving, but they weren't distraught. They didn't understand what she'd done, and I didn't enlighten them. Etta wasn't coming back. I knew that right off. You don't go and pull a stunt like the one she did and then do a U-turn back to your folks' house the next week. At least you don't if you're like my kid. She was stubborn. A mule of a girl who'd never liked listening to anyone. I knew that was partly my fault, of course. I'd provided at least half of the genetics that had put the evil in her. Even accounting for her nature, it was a disappointing betrayal. She'd always been close to me, and we'd always been a tight team. She'd had my back and I'd had hers. To break those rules, to go against the family, well, that hurt. Naturally, I didn't tell my parents jack squat about what was really going on. When there's a painful moment of revelation staring me in the face, I always put it off until morning. When I couldn't dodge any longer, I made up some lies to push the day of reckoning even farther away. I'm not proud of it. That's just my approach to life. Months passed. Soon it was springtime, and Legion Varus was still demobilized for some much-needed shore leave. Things wouldn't stay that way forever, but with luck, my vacation might last as long as a year. Deciding to enjoy what I could of each day, I did my damnedest to string along my parents. I was full of bright reasons as to why Etta wasn't calling or writing us, much less coming back home. One day kind of slid into the next, and it was late May before I knew it. Then came a night, just before I was about to retire for the evening, when my tapper beeped with a special tone. The sound signified a private call was incoming. That was unusual, as I always set my tapper to allow only emergency calls from high-level people or my low-level friends. Glancing at it, I saw the ID, and my face shifted from curious to concerned. "Galena?" I asked, answering the call.
"Please use my title, Centurion."
"Of course," I said quickly. "Sorry. Hello, Tribune. What's up?"
I've learned some things. I'd like to discuss them with you."
Does this mean I have to fly up to your office?"
"No,"
she said firmly.
"I'm already here in Georgia. My God, how hot and sticky your nights are down here, McGill. How can you stand to live in this swamp?"
Frowning, I walked to my window and split the shades with my fingers. My windows consisted of old-fashioned, honest-to-God shades covering panes of glass, not some kind of cheap screen that reimagined what the outdoors looked like. I didn't see anything other than the darkness and shadowy trees. The swamp seemed quiet. "Well, if you're already down here, you might as well come see me," I said. "Where are you, exactly?"
"Out on the road, in my air car."
"Oh, I get it," I said, relieved. I thought she might have brought an arresting army with her. It wouldn't have been the first time she'd sent goons to my door. I walked to my south-facing window and peeped outside. Now I saw her. A vehicle squatted on the highway. It looked like an air car, even though I could only see the glow of the running lights from here. "Hey, if you're right here, maybe I should come out. We could go into town."
"I don't know," she said. "I've never seen your place. It's been in so many reports of incidents. I'm mildly curious about it. Do you mind if I come in?"
I said, looking around my dirty shack in alarm. "I guess that would be okay."
"Good, I'll be right there."
Being a long-term bachelor, I wasn't the finest housekeeper in the world. In fact, I was more of a pig. Racing around the place, I began scooping and shoving. I sprayed the toilet, the couch, and my dishes with some nano stain eater. Everything bubbled up with silver foam. Soon, things glistened and began to smell better. Throwing open the doors and the windows, I aired the place out as best I could. But it still was a little ripe by the time she walked up. Putting on my best Georgia grin, I greeted her and stepped aside so she could enter. She paused at the doorway, looking around in concern. I'd witnessed this effect on women any number of times. There was something about my dank lair that set them ill at ease. Possibly they knew in their heart of hearts that this was a place that was completely unfeminine. That was reinforced by the dark, the stains, the musk of my shoved-away laundry, and countless other details. Letting her soak it all in, I didn't say a thing. Apologies, excuses, they never did a damned bit of good in these moments of indecision. I had to let her decide if she'd made a mistake or not. Finally, she walked past me and sat on my couch. It was just about the only piece of real furniture that I had, and it doubled as my bed. Mildly surprised, I gave her a big smile. "Welcome to my home, sir." She tilted her head forward, a suggestion of a nod.
"Now, you can call me Galina. It's appropriate."
"Okay, Galina. What will you have?" "I've got beer and... I think there's some milk left, but that may have gone sour."
"In that case, I'll have a beer."
"Do you want a glass?" Her eyes ran over my sink full of dishes. The mercury-like shine of the nanites cleansing them was obvious. "I'd rinse it off first, of course," I said.
Just give me the bottle."
I did, and I cracked one open for myself. We sipped our beverages and studied one another. "Galina," I asked, "why'd you call? Why didn't you just come and knock at my door?"
"I've heard things," she said. "I didn't think it would be a good idea to surprise you at night."
"Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, maybe that was good thinking. I wish more people would call first, now that you mention it."
"Your tapper is usually unavailable."
"Not for you," I told her, truthfully. "You can always get through." She smiled and sipped her beer. For some reason, she seemed awkward and uncertain. That was weird for her. She was a woman who behaved with the utmost confidence most of the time. I wasn't sure what was on her mind tonight. Sex? Maybe, but if Galina wanted that, a man could always tell. She sucked in a breath, making her chest rise and fall. I watched her curiously. I honestly had no idea what she was about to say.
"James," she said at last, "I've learned some things, very bad things."
"Like what?"
"Do you know a book called The Eaters of Lotus?"
I blinked. That was bad, but then I looked down at my filthy carpet before answering and blew it completely. Damn it. I was looking as guilty as hell. I might as well have started sobbing. When I opened my mouth to lie, she put up a hand, stopping me.
"Don't bother," she said. "I can see that you have. And I knew the answer was yes before I asked the question anyway."
Okay, I said, still confused. Galina struggled to explain herself. Often when a person is discussing something that's difficult for them, it's just best to shut up. Any hinting on my part might dilute the information I was about to receive. Upping the stakes was the fact my daughter Etta was involved in the book's recent change of status. That simple reality made me want to play this the safest way I could.
"The book contains things that can't be known," Galina said. "We need to get it back. We need to destroy it.
I said. It's gone. She closed her eyes and she nodded.
I feared that's what you would say.
No, really. It's gone. If it helps any, the secrets in it have already been figured out, and Central has them.
Galena's head snapped back up.
How is that possible?
Well, I happen to know firsthand that the bioterminator described in the book has been developed and tested. What's more, it works.
She looked stunned.
I can't believe you know such things, and I don't. Drusus, that bastard, he's always pushing me out of every loop he can.
I took absolutely no steps to correct her false line of logic. Florimel had done all the work privately and told me about it. No brains were required on my part to realize it was better for her to blame Drusus than Florimel. So I clammed up.
Okay,
she said.
I came here to learn about the book, and I learned far more than I'd bargained for. That makes me inclined to believe you.
It's all the truth. The whole truth, the honest truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me.
Where's the book, then? If you don't have it, where did it go?
Claver took it.
What?
My daughter was here alone. He got her to give it to him. Galena stood up.
That monster! Is she all right?
My mind churned. She'd again taken a wrong turn in the logical sequence of events, but that was a good thing to my way of thinking. There was nothing positive about the idea that Etta had turned traitor to me, Earth, and hell, the entire empire. She's okay, I said. I sent her to Dust World. That's where she was born. Galena nodded, thinking hard.
I get it. You wanted to protect her. I don't blame you. If Claver came and managed to use her once, he'd do it again. I'd love to kill him and all his clones.
Right there, she'd let drop another bit of information in my direction. She knew of Claver's lair. At least that's what it sounded like. In the past, she'd had a lot of private dealings with the old traitor. It stood to reason that she'd know some of his secrets.
Okay,
she said.
You've been reasonably honest with me. I know this because I verified much of what you said before I arrived. I knew you had the book at some point, and I suspected you'd lost it. I knew your daughter was involved in that process, and that she's left Earth. Now I see how all the pieces fit together.
She lifted her tapper to her face, and she spoke to it.
Primus, stand down. Remove all assets. The ball isn't here.
Miguel is cleared?
Graves's voice spoke. It gave me a chill to hear him. Could a cohort of troops be out there in the bog encircling my place even now? It was more than possible.
McGill is clear. Withdraw.
Do you need an escort, Tribune? I can extract.
No, damn you. Withdraw. I've got my air car. I'll leave later.
There was a brief moment of silence, a hesitation. Then, finally, he spoke again in a resigned voice.
Graves out.
I could tell by his tone that he didn't approve, but I also knew that Galena Turov usually did whatever she damned well pleased. Wow, I said, and I upended my brew. I drained it and cracked open another. Galena watched me, and she did the same.
I'm sorry,
she said.
That book, it's just so important. Do you have any idea who might have bought it from Claver?
He didn't say.
No, of course not. It could have been any of the Galactics that rival the Mogwa, even the Rigelians.
My eyes widened. I hadn't even considered such things. She was probably right. If Claver was working so hard to get the book, that meant he already had a buyer all lined up. Who would want a book that gave away the secrets to a genocidal weapon, one that only worked on the Mogwa? Any enemy, no make that every enemy they had. The list was long and distinguished.
I'm glad to hear we managed to glean the secrets before it was stolen, she said. That might be critical in the future.
How so? Are we trying to exterminate the Magua?
Probably not. But there are other uses. If we gave them the formula, for example, they might be able to come up with a cure before they got hit with it. That might be quite valuable to them.
Oh, I said, thinking it over. Tell me, Galena, why do you come down here personally? Why not just send Graves with 50 goons? She looked a little shy.
Because I owe you,
she said. For what in particular?
Have you been keeping up with the Legion news articles online?
I sure have.
No,
she said.
Of course you haven't. That might disturb your meditation, or whatever it is you do down here in this marsh. Give me some whiskey now, and I'll fill you in on what's happening at Central.
It was an unexpected request, and I could tell from the way she was talking that those first two beers were already having an effect on her. Galena had never built up much of a tolerance for alcohol. You sure you want to drink hard liquor right now? I cautioned her.
Yes, damn it, give it to me.
I shrugged, and I poured. After all, the woman was over 50, even if she'd kept her body down as close to 20 as she could by dying every few years. In fact, she died just a month or two back aboard Nostrum. Maybe that's why her face seemed all young again. Her face was more intoxicating to me than the booze right about now. I hadn't had a date since Etta left, and that was a long, long time in my book. We drank a shot each, and she didn't seem to care any longer about the status of my glassware. After she'd gulped her drink, she sighed and relaxed. You were saying something about why you owe me? I prompted.
It was glorious,
she said.
I don't know what you said to Drusus after he dismissed your trial, but it must have been hard on him.
Yeah, I said, thinking it over. I just talked to him about how things went out on Dark World.
What did you say?
That it seemed like a giant Charlie Foxtrot to me.
It was,
she laughed,
a cluster hump of the First Order.
When I talked to him, Drusus was contrite. He seemed to blame himself.
As well he should,
she said, suddenly angry.
How could he expect us to get along? He just switched our ranks for fun and then shipped us out to fight together. It was such bullshit.
I knew she was talking about Deitch. From her point of view, the situation had been made intolerable by the presence of that other woman. Standing tall, she began to pace and talk loudly.
First, he fucks her,
she announced, pooting a finger at my sooty ceiling.
But that's not good enough for him. Oh, no. Next, he has to take my job, give it to her, and then make us fight in the same trench. How could he expect anything other than failure at that point?
No way in hell, I said, egging her on.
No way.
So, she started laughing again.
Here's the funny part.
Her voice dropped, and she half fell beside me on the couch. I steadied her with a hand.
After you talked to him,
she went on,
he seemed to realize his sick error. The brass from Geneva was making inquiries. Imagine his first big military campaign after getting the rank of praetor had gone tits up, and he created the disaster himself.
Yeah, that sounds funny, I lied, thinking of tens of thousands of dead legionnaires. What did he do? Apologize?
Hell no. What he did was better than that. He fired Deitch, demoting her. He put her in charge of Teutoburg. Can you believe it? They're almost as bad as Varys. No, worse, because they never do much of anything important. Then he shipped her ass out to sit on Machine World.
She broke into a long belly laugh, and I was bemused myself. Deitch is on guard duty? I asked.
That's right. Permanent guard duty. She's marooned on that rock. She can rot there, I hope. Better her than me.
Oh, I said. So that's why you're so happy. You think I got Drusus to demote her. I'm not sure that my little talk... She grabbed up a big wad of my shirt then, pulled me in close, and kissed me hard. It was a nice, firm kiss. They went on for quite a while. After something like a full minute, she eased off, but she was still very near, whispering into my face. Her hot breath was sweet to me. It was a good thing we were both drinking.
James, he told me that what you said moved him. You let him see how he looked through the eyes of a low-level officer. He realized that if he looked that way to you, not the most perceptive man in the legions, that everyone must know he was wrapped around her finger.
So, he had to send her away? I almost feel sorry for old Drusus. He had a real thing going with Deitch, and I don't get the impression that he's had many affairs in his life. Galena snorted in my face. It caused my hair to puff back a little.
Do you want to make love to Drusus or to me?
She demanded. That was all the invitation I needed. My arms encircled her, and we got busy. Galena had lost none of her skills, and she managed to take me away from my own heartaches for a time. I forgot about Claver, the Magua, my folks, and even about Etta. After a solid half hour, we took a break. I'd set up a fan to blow over us. That's a necessity in southern Georgia. The fan thrummed and cooled us down enough to make contact with another human skin comfortable. Galena laid her head on my chest. But she didn't fall asleep. She seemed to be thinking.
You know, I believe,
she said.
Yes. I might have a thing for you, James. Is that crazy?
She put a finger up to my lips.
No. Don't answer that. Forget I said it.
My shrug made her small head bounce. We'd turned off every light in my place, so the timeless blue glimmer of the heavens was our only illumination. Outside, the stars shined brightly, and the moon had risen over my shack. Playing with her hair, looping my fingers through it, my mind was a happy blank. We fell asleep like that, and I, for one, was glad she'd come down to pay me a visit. And if Galena did have a thing for me, well, that was okay, too.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Dark World, written by B.V. Larson, performed by Mark Boyette. Executive producers Steve Feldberg and Mike Charzik. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2018 by Iron Tower Press, Inc. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.